Chapter 3. After the Bloodless Night. By dawn, most of the men were emotionally spent. With the long night finally past, the threat of the goblin attack seemed to diminish. It was almost as if, believing the goblins would attack at night, the threat seemed over with the arrival of the morning sun. Few of them had slept much during the night, between the added watches and the chain armor pressing down on their chests like the heavy hand of waiting death. The cheer of morning seemed to banish such dark thoughts. The singing of morning birds and the rosy cheer of the day's first rays of sunlight seemed at odds with the thought of death lurking out among the trees. There was some talk that perhaps the goblins had thought better of their attack and silently withdrawn back from wherever they had come. Some believed what they were saying. Others just needed to hear some words of confidence to assuage their uncertainty and nervousness. Brannis did not like it. Let the men say what they would, but Brannis had the nagging feeling that the goblins were scheming something. They would not have delayed their attack just to cost our men a night's sleep, would they? Perhaps. There had been no hunting the previous night, so the morning meal was to be nothing but cured meat strips and water. Hardly an appetizing prospect. Brannis made his way over to claim his dawn feast from the army stores and ran into Iridan, his eyes sunken and bloodshot, appearing a bit wobbly on his feet.
"Fair morning, what say?"
asked Brannis with a smile. Brannis had managed a restful sleep despite the circumstances and felt refreshed. His dreams had been growing more vivid of late, and he seemed to sleep the deeper for it, not awakening throughout the night as so many of the other knights had.
"Strange to have such vivid dreams about such mundane drivel. What about copying texts for stodgy old men should be so worth remembering? Am I trying to tell myself I would be best off retiring and taking up a trade?"
The thought amused Brannis. He had never used to remember what he dreamed at night and wished it was not always the same bland stuff. Why not fair lasses and glorious battles some night?
"I would not know. It is still last night for me," Iridan said. "I never thought I would envy anyone a night's sleep in full armor. Guess I was wrong on that count.
Hey, when can we call off the goblin watch and let me get some sleep?
I will have some patrols search the surrounding area for signs of the goblins. I do not think they can hide from us in daylight in any threatening numbers. If the patrols do not turn anything up, well, I guess we will see about letting you sleep a bit."
Brannis leaned closer and added in a low voice, "I can see now why necromancy is forbidden. I cannot imagine anything dead would look less horrible than you do right now." Despite his fatigue, Iridan could not help but smile and chuckle a bit. The playful swat that he aimed for the back of the grinning Brannis's head missed badly and drew an amused snicker at his expense from the few men nearby.
"Sure, Brannis, enjoy this now. I will be getting you back once I have..."
Iridan paused for a yawn.
"Gotten a good sleep in me. I will not be forgetting. Maybe the next wolves I bring into camp will be doing their business in your tent."
They had been friends since childhood, so Iridan was freer than most to joke with the battalion commander. He looked at Brannis out of the corner of his eye and tried to feign a menacing look. This drew a good-natured laugh from everyone, as Iridan was hardly in any condition to look menacing. Brannis nearly toppled his friend with a hearty clap on the back and helped him to a seat and a dawn feast.
"Goblins!"
one of the sentries screamed. While the goblins were as silent in daylight as at night, there was no denying that they had given up some advantage in stealth with their dawn raid. One of the sentries had spotted them.
"To arms! Form a shield wall just inside the camp perimeter,"
Brannis ordered as he plunked his helmet onto his head and secured the chin strap.
"Keep the shields low, and remember that the goblins cannot reach above your shields, only under and between."
The knights were gathering behind the rapidly forming wall of men, with shields and spears, each wielding a pair of goblin swords, whip-thin rods of steel meant to overcome the goblin advantage of quickness. Only Brannis, carrying Massacre, was differently armed. And of course, Iridan, who was neither armed nor armored, though he had been given a chain shirt identical to those of the commoner soldiers. Poor Iridan, thought Brannis. No sleep for him after all. The young sorcerer had shunned the armor he had been given, planning to rely solely on his magic for his defense. If the goblins were half as smart as everyone claimed, they would pick him out of the crowd easily enough anyway, and he preferred to be free of the awkward armor to better cast his spells.
Indrietho, Anamakne, Ubtayo, Wanuzar, Proneduk, intoned Iridan.
Brannis spared a glance over his shoulder to check on the spell Iridan was casting. He was holding his arms skyward, fully extended, with his fingers slowly weaving in an intricate pattern in the air. Brannis recognized it as a shielding spell, and from the way Iridan was gesturing, one meant to form a barrier overhead to prevent the goblin's thrown weapons from penetrating, like giving a house a sturdy roof to keep out the rain. Brannis was just behind the front lines when the first of the goblin missiles sailed in. He shouted for his men to keep down behind their shields and not to raise them up. All but a handful managed to put aside their instinct to bring their shields up to cover their heads. A second wave of thrown spears and daggers quickly followed the first, and with few targets presenting themselves, those few went down quickly amid a storm of hurled blades. The sound of the goblin sorcerer's spell chants were drowned out by the sudden war cry of their first wave of infantry, a horrible chattering cacophony bringing to mind a flock of startled chickens in an echoing canyon. Yet the spells were cast, heard by the defenders or not, and a blast of lightning shattered the ranks of men to one side, while two bolts of white-hot ether hammered into Iridan's shielding spell, illuminating the transparent barrier for a flickering moment. The shield appeared almost to buckle, but it held, and the ether bolts dispersed. The goblins pressed their advantage where the lightning had cleared a hole in the cadron's shield wall. Two knights rushed in to fill the breach, a burning scent heavy in the air around them. They stood over the bodies of the fallen soldiers and continued serving their duty on the line. Both sides now had to contend with the effects of the fog. There was still enough visibility at head height that the humans could clearly make out where their allies were. The goblins, mired in thicker fog whose nature they had somewhat underestimated, were having difficulty finding their footing. Brannis sported a rather wicked, self-satisfied grin when he heard the startled yelps of the goblins that stumbled into one of the vast number of latrines his men had been digging the last several days. He had figured that a waist-deep hole to a man was plenty to take a goblin out of the fighting. The goblins, however, were nothing if not adaptable. One of their sorcerers quickly cast a spell that created a gale of wind that dispersed the remaining fog in the span of but two breaths. Another created a dimness in the air, not entirely dissimilar to the fog, but which acted to dim the light from the morning sun over the battlefield, creating an artificial night. Iridan acted quickly to counter the latter effect and nullified the advantage that goblin eyes held in the dark.
Aleph Kelai Abdu.
He quickly spoke the few necessary words and made a quick circling gesture with his right hand, with the tip of his middle finger touching his thumb. It was the simplest of all spells and the first one taught to every student at the academy. It was a spell simple enough that Brannis nearly had the strength to cast it. Instantly, the false night was replaced by an equally false noontime, as a bright ball of light appeared overhead near Iridan's outstretched hand. The harsh white light cutting through the dimming spell the goblins had fashioned. The spell had worked well, and taken back the advantage that the goblin spell had bought for the few moments prior. But it had also marked Iridan clearly in the eyes of the goblins. The way the spell was worded, it was difficult to make it appear more than a pace or so from the hand from which it originated. In fact, it took some skill and practice even to keep the light from emanating from one's own fingertip. Iridan might as well have painted a sign reading Sorcerer and hung it around his neck. Brannis had been calling out orders, orchestrating the Cadran's defenses, when he heard a high whistle sound above the noise of battle. It came in two quick bursts, a longer whistle, then two more short. Goblin signals, he realized. He had not yet become engaged in the combat. His own sword was far too dangerous to have it drawn and swinging about in close quarters with his own men. They were holding up well. They had resisted the urge to break ranks and attempt to press the goblins back into the forest, which was now starting to burn. Iridan's shielding spell had somehow managed to turn a ball of fire from one of the goblins back at their own ranks. Brannis watched to see what came of the enemy's whistle. From behind the lines, Brannis was the first to notice the goblins' reinforcements charge in from the south and west. They were not as numerous as the main force attacking from the east, but they presented a tactical problem. No defenders were prepared to hold those sides against attack. The shield wall had held so far, and the knights had done well to prevent the goblins from coming around the flanks. But this they were not going to be able to stop in time.
"Pull back, and bring the shield wall around to face the south as well," Brannis shouted.
As the knights helped direct the troop movements to carry out their commander's orders, Iridan watched Brannis draw his sword and prepare to defend the interior of the camp. Iridan himself was behind the lines and knew they were unlikely to survive this battle without his magic, so long as the goblin sorcerers still lived. He stayed, watching both his friend's position and for places his spells might be needed. The first attackers among the goblins stopped short. They had been eager to rush in against a lone human knight and an unarmed sorcerer, relishing the glory of cutting off the head of the army. But the sight of an almost ogre-sized human wielding an enchanted sword that glowed a foreboding green and trailed a strange mist in its wake gave them pause. As the goblins at the forefront slowed, those lagging behind caught up to the front of the charge, and their renewed numbers swelled their courage once again, and they recommenced the attack in mass. Iridan saw the goblins heading for Brannis and started another spell.
Haru, Bidesi, Lioki, Quatuan, Gilora.
Iridan held his arms wide with his fingers spread apart. Then rapidly, as he finished his chant, he drew his hands together and, just before they met, turned his palms upward and raised both hands overhead. He was only a few paces from the cooking fire, and that was what had inspired this particular spell. As the ether flowed through him, he directed it into the various pots, spoons, bowls, and ladles that the Cadrans had brought along with them. These various items rose quickly into the air to hover around waist height, and with a commanding gesture from Iridan toward the onrushing goblins, they flew. In all of Cadran history, there was perhaps no instance where the contents of a larder had been put to such deadly use on the field of battle. A storm of crockery hurtled through the air with the speed of a diving hawk. The great clanging and splattering sounds that resulted hinted at one of the greatest culinary assaults of all time. Though it sounded quite incongruous in the middle of a battle of spell and steel, the charge from the west was brought near to a halt. Just a few steps away, Brannis was beset by onrushing goblins, leading with their spears. Three wide they charged, three at once they were cut down. The goblins were astonished by the speed at which the blade cut through the air, and spears, and goblins. That is, all but the first three were astonished, for those at the forefront of the charge never realized what had become of them. The rest of the goblins charging Brannis drew back and began to try to encircle him, staying just out of his reach. Brannis kept Massacre waving back and forth in front of him, leaving the green mist wafting in the air behind the blade and forming a hazardous barrier for the goblins to cross. The goblins were sensitive creatures, naturally better attuned to the ether than were humans. They could sense the power in the weapon, and thus had some misgivings about letting the mist touch them. One who had gotten a bit too close was already unsteady on his feet, and did not look well at all. Several gave up on Brannis altogether, and instead tried to get past him to the sorcerer, whom they saw was much distracted by other concerns.
"Brannis, the shield wall!"
Iridan called out, drawing Brannis' attention to a gap that had formed. As Brannis turned that way, he heard Iridan immediately begin another spell.
"Canithio, Mandraxe!"
Iridan crossed his palms, facing outward, and aimed toward the breach. A blue-white ray of light shone out from him, wide as his shoulders, and he ducked his head to keep the brightness from hurting his eyes. The blast was one of pure ether force, and left a large number of goblins missing entirely when the blinding glare left the spot and everyone could see there again. But the smoking ruin of a gap was once again quickly filled by a few of the remaining goblins. Iridan winced in pain as the ether blast took more power to cast than his body was accustomed to. Brannis knew that every vein in his thin body must have been like a river of fire. Brannis had studied along with Iridan at the academy before being expelled for lack of talent. The pain was really in the mind, and Iridan's body would still function if he had the will to endure through it. Brannis had taken advantage of the blinding light to cut down most of the goblins facing him. His back had been to the blast, and his adversaries had seen it directly, blinding them temporarily and giving Brannis an easy time of dispatching them. With a quick respite in the battle, Brannis took stock of his army and was dismayed. Both sides had been ravaged during the fight. Fewer than half of his troops were still standing, and goblin bodies littered the battlefield. Even as he pondered this, a plume of fire erupted from nearby and engulfed several more of his men. Brannis spotted a goblin sorcerer, one of two that he had figured remained in the battle, at the source of the fire. Distractedly slashing through a goblin that had thought to catch him in an unguarded moment, Brannis charged across the battlefield toward the deadly goblin sorcerer. The goblin spotted him as well and began another spell. Brannis understood nothing of goblin speech or how they used magic. Not the fleetest of runners, he could only hope he was fast enough to close the distance in time. He saw the goblin cup his hands together as something grew between them. It began as a tiny puff of golden light and expanded as Brannis watched, his eyes intent on nothing else. The energy grew into a globe the size of Brannis' fist. The goblin sorcerer was struggling to hold it in check, squeezing it between its bony hands. He tried to slow himself as he saw the goblin bringing its hands around behind the globe, realizing he was not going to be able to close the distance in time. His momentum was too great to dodge to the side. The goblin let his spell loose straight at Brannis' chest. Brannis saw the blast coming and did the only thing he could think to do. He brought his sword up in front of him, tip pointing down, into line with the oncoming missile. With his left arm, he tried to shield his face from the blast. He felt a wrenching pain in his right shoulder, and the sword was torn from his grasp. There was an impact on his breastplate that felt like someone had just slung a sack of flour into his chest, but he managed to keep his balance and hardly break stride. When he brought his other arm away from his face, Brannis caught sight of one particularly astonished goblin who stood gaping at him. The little creature turned to run, but Brannis was running full out and dove onto the sorcerer before he could get more than two steps away. Pinning the goblin was child's play as Brannis easily outweighed the sorcerer five times over. The goblin tried casting one last spell, but two heavy blows from Brannis's gauntleted fist were more than the creature's frail body could endure. Iridan and the last remaining goblin sorcerer had torn into each other's forces in a fury of magical power, while not directly encountering each other. The goblin sorcerer had seen too much of the human's magic to want to test himself against Iridan directly, but now he had a much better chance. Having snuck around the fallen left flank of the human army, he crouched low by the brook and, quietly as he could, timed a spell for when Iridan was most vulnerable. Iridan had just cast another ether blast spell, figuring that his own body was a price he was willing to pay to save the rest of the army. He was beginning to feel nauseous with the pain of his last casting, once more having pushed himself too far, when he heard a crackling sound to his left. Turning, he saw a ball of lightning heading toward him and panicked. Iridan raised his hands out in front of him and reflexively drew in all the ether he could muster. Without a word of arcane or conscious thought, a translucent barrier formed in the air between his body and the ball of lightning, bowl-shaped and facing his enemy. When the two forces collided, Iridan felt the impact in his shoulders as if his outstretched hands had been supporting the barrier. The barrier flashed but remained intact. The goblin spell rebounded from the barrier and right back at him. The goblin had no time to react. Iridan had another problem, however. He had drawn in more ether than he could control. It felt like a wildfire had been ignited behind his eyes. He clutched at the sides of his head and fell to his knees, screaming incoherently. With what little of his mind that was not muddled by pain, he tried to force the ether out of his body and into another vessel. His training would have had him divert the ether into fire and heat the nearest water available to him, but he was too blinded by the pain to find the stream, and so he randomly started to release the ether wherever he was able. The few goblins that had not begun to retreat when they saw their last sorcerer fall tried to take advantage of Iridan's infirmity and finish him off. They did not realize their mistake until they burst into flames as they drew too near the human sorcerer. The ground around Iridan began to steam, and the grass withered to ash within several paces of him. The dozen or so goblins still able to move were now in retreat, and the few cadrans still standing sought some way to aid their sorcerer's plight. There was little any of them could do, though, and a moment later, with a convulsive gasp that sounded like a horrible mixture of pain and relief, Iridan collapsed onto the blistered turf.